o te rangatira tahi me Pa Kelly mane ki te praere ono ki te iwa karaka i te ata i runga i te reo irirangi o te tiu, te reo irirangi Māori o te hiku o te ika, iwa te kaumāwhitu i rā tahi.
Nō reira o pātēne mihi tonu atu nei, a kia koutou whakalongo mai nei ki te reo te hiku o teka. My manuhiri Matthew Tukaki is on the wire. We're doing an update on our kōrero we spoke about 2 weeks ago. I said 2 weeks I will call you. He's on the line, so pōwhiri mai kiuta. Nō reira, kia ora matu.
Kia ora, good to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, let's cut to the chase. I know you like getting down and getting it done. Okay, Matthew, from the last time we got together, you weren't in Parliament. However, I'm sure they were actually relieved when you actually left, because you weren't leaving there until you got answers. With all of that, where do you sit and how are things going?
Well, it's very busy for us, as you know. I mean, I truly think there's a renaissance in the interest of Māori affairs when it comes to our people. So not a day goes by that somebody won't get in touch with me from around the country and ask me to take on this, that, or the other thing. So, for example, the last time we spoke, I was in Parliament. I was about to walk into Phil Twyford's office, the Minister for Transport, around the basic issue of what has been going on down in Kaikoura. So after the earthquake, the entire coastal strip was upheaved. The road and the rail links were cut, and the tunnels were blocked, and it was really, really hard on those communities up and down the coast. And while we focus all of our efforts sometimes on what happens with urban Māori in Auckland and around the place, in fact, it's these small coastal communities that have high Māori populations. And so what they've been concerned about is a couple of things. The first is the fact that there seems to be never-ending construction work going on. Whenever you get out the driveway and drive down the road, there's always orange cones somewhere for some reason. And so when you've been impacted by an earthquake of that magnitude, and we had a high rate of homelessness in the local area, we had a massive demand on mental health and social services. Heck, there was even the case of a Māori fella sleeping rough down on one of the beaches because he just couldn't secure accommodation. So we had all of these different problems. And so when you don't see an end to the never-ending construction 4 years on, then that really begins to play on people's emotions. So this is an example of where a lot of our people come to us under Section 18 of our Māori Community Development Act there in Parliament, and they say, please intervene. Can you help us out here? So the community gathered and they approached us, and immediately I took it on to Phil Twyford. And I said to him, look, you've got a couple of problems here on that coastal highway, Phil. The first thing you've got is you've put barriers up right across the coastal fringe, which impinges Māori's customary right to access Kaimoana. We have been doing this since time immemorial, and now all of a sudden you've cut us off from collecting everything from kina and crayfish to fishing on the beach or setting nets and these sorts of things. And, of course, no one thought of that, which is completely ridiculous in this day and age. The other thing, too, is the amount of homes that are just not being built or not being maintained down there increases the rate of Māori homelessness. So we put all this to Phil, but more importantly, I put to the Minister, and by the way, I think your construction companies that you've got to build these roads and stuff are usurping the emergency legislation, putting in resource management applications and consents that don't need public scrutiny and feedback. And I also reckon they're running a bit of an invoicing scam. So I did not hold back on behalf of that Kaikoura community, because I said to Phil Twyford, mate, if that's going on down there to the tune of $1.2 billion and you've cut off customary rights of our people, then let me tell you, if I find out that's happening in Ratahi, just out of Taumana Nui, where there are also massive land slips on the road, which will be the same right around the country, where there are Māori communities, then we'll be coming for you. Now, I've given Phil a chance to put things right. He hasn't done that yet. Instead, what he's done is he's gone and congratulated the construction firms who have been in receipt of this $1.2 billion to get away with it. Well, today, this morning, unfortunately, Phil, I'm winging my way to Wellington to pull you up stumps again, because I don't think any Māori community is going to put up with the ongoing trauma, the lack of access to customary rights or anything else in between. So that's an example of what we're doing at the local level. At the national level, what we're working on is obviously Oranga Tamariki, and we have been doing that for quite some time now. Of course, the inquiry report came out last week, and it was damning and it was shocking, but I reason this. We've seen this all before. We've seen reports like this. What's happened to that baby in their whānau down in Hastings there is not new. We've got endless coronial reports of our babies that have been killed. The James Whakarūrū report, for example, a little brown-eyed boy from there in the Hawke's Bay as well, who was killed by his stepfather. It was exactly the same sort of thing going on. No one talking to the family, no one engaging. Locally, we don't know necessarily what's going on. The police had no clue. The DHB had no clue. And then on the other side, of course, you've got these so-called prominent Māori leaders. I tell you what, we magic these fellas up too quickly. These prominent Māori leaders who are saying, no, we just need to shut it down now, shut it down now. Well, shut it down and do what? This is what frustrates me. What frustrates me is what we need to do is have a cohesive plan to take on all of these services ourselves. Saying just shut it down now is not going to solve the problem. And in fact, what's going to end up happening is we're going to have families and at-risk children out there still. And so what I said to the minister and what I've said on national TV last week is we need three things to happen and happen really quickly. Number one, we need more Māori organisations and iwi and hapu being approached by Oranga Tamariki for strategic partnerships under the 7AA legislation that came in at the beginning of, or, sorry, midway through this year. Number two, we need a plan on what it means to build these services up. You know, Māori and iwi, hapu social services, they get little money and little funding to provide what is a 24/7 day a week service. And so what we need to do is get money and investment from the government to build that up, to build our workforce in the communities, to strengthen our services, because we'll go from a 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. under a contract with a government department to what is essentially a 24/7 social service. Now, that's a plan. That's a plan to move those functions from Oranga Tamariki through to our Māori organisations. But we can't do that without a plan. So I'm going to be speaking with the minister later on this week and outlining what the transition needs to look like. And instead of just jumping on the TV and having a crow about it, you know, let's get some action going here. We can't afford to wait for any more inquiries. We can't afford to wait for any more reports. We all know what's been going on for many, many years. And in fact, I'd argue this, you know, more than 70% of children in state care between 1950 and 1999 were Māori kids. So nothing's changed for nearly a century since this whole damn thing began to come into place in the early 1930s. So that's the second big piece of work, and I'm going to be announcing something quite significant at the National Hui of the Māori Council in Rotorua on Saturday the 30th of November. So that's big on our agenda. The next one we've been working on is taking on the centralisation of this national polytechnic. So the closure of all of these polytechnics around the country, the merging into a national institution. So we've met with Chris Hipkins and laid it on the table. No more of this mucking around. If Māori jobs are on the table in our regions, then we're not going to put up with it. And I reason this. A lot of the people who are employed in the regions in landscaping, groundskeeping, maintenance, infrastructure care, back office functions and everything from Tairāwhiti Polytechnic there, right up north, down to Southland, are actually Māori workers. So I've said to him that there will be no way in God's green earth that any of our workers in the regions should be made redundant or unemployed just because somebody's magicked up an idea about a national polytechnic. So there's a range of different things that we continue to work on. The spectrum claim is coming to an end. I'm very pleased with. So myself, the Māori Working Group, and Minister Chris Whāwhoi, I know are going to be making some announcements at the beginning of next month. That spectrum claim is one of the oldest, most historical, and it came about really essentially from the Māori Council's perspective to both protect our language, but also to ensure that iwi radio and iwi media broadcasting, that sort of stuff, had the same platform and equal access to a platform that non-Māori had, like TVNZ and Radio New Zealand and that sort of thing. And you might remember the big case way back more than 20 years ago now, where we took that as far as the highest court in the land. What's going to happen with this case, with this announcement, is a resetting of the agenda to give our people more access to the high growth side of the economy. So that is also us trialling this new kaupapa inquiry process that we've been working on. So traditionally, when the Waitangi Tribunal hand down a report along kaupapa lines, like 262, the Taonga claim, or the water claim, or the health claim, or whatever it might be, then essentially the government can choose to listen or not, and invariably always they choose not to listen. So what we've decided to do is pick up as many of the historical, already reported on recommendations from the tribunal and start setting in train a new model of getting an outcome for Māori. So the first one, Spectrum. The second one will be the Taonga claim. Third is water. We're working on the health claim as well as a council. We have just implemented a claim for what we call mana wahine, and into the Waitangi Tribunal, and of course now we're taking on the Vatican with the Doctrine of Discovery, which is a little known document. So that's a snapshot of what's going on at the moment, my brother.
Well, you know, if that's just a snapshot of what's going on, just what does the actual work pile actually look like? And, you know, I really feel sorry for the ones on the other side that's in front of where you're coming, and I've already picked out. And you're going there not half-cocked. You're going there fully loaded to get answers, to get things done. Why? Because we've been pushed into a corner and a hard place for going on to almost 200 years now. Enough is enough.
Well, that's right. I mean, I can tell you exactly how many specific issue areas we're dealing with. And don't forget, I mean, I'm a volunteer, essentially. I don't get paid to do my mahi. I do it because I believe in what I'm doing.
Gilda.
And what we've got here is I've got 62 big issues that we're dealing with. And then there's about 130-odd smaller issues, but they're big to that local community where they are. So, for example, in my own district of Auckland, of Tāmaki, I run clinics every Saturday morning where I just say to our people, hey, you got a problem? Here's a coffee shop I'll be at. You know, come and tell me your problem, and let's see if we can find a solution to it. And so one of these cases is a sad case of a Māori fella who had his children taken off him about 14 years ago. He's had some troubles in his life, and he's turning his life around, but he wants to reconnect with his children. There's barriers in the way of him. And we're working through a process with Oranga Tamariki to reconnect them with his kids in the most appropriate and meaningful way we can. Now, he's been suffering so much behind the scenes of just not having connection with whānau that, you know, that's led him to mental health problems, depression and anxiety. And yet I would argue we could have solved this 14 years ago and we may not have had a problem. So these are the small little things that are happening. Housing, for example. I get a lot of people just saying, you know, Matt, I'm down in Nelson. I'm struggling to afford the rent. Can you help me out? And we'll refer him. I'll find out somebody in Nelson and I'll refer our whānau to that organisation to help out. And then there's the big national issues, you know, suicide prevention, mental health system, the big health claim. We're dealing with everything from the education system to Hobson's Pledge, right through to the Vatican now. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't understand or wouldn't have been familiar with the Doctrine of Discovery until about 2-3 weeks ago,
when
Captain Cook anniversary was on. But in fact, it was a Doctrine of Discovery in 1493 that was signed by Pope Alexander the sixth, who put in train the events to come. Essentially what he gave permission to was to European monarchies or their representatives that if they were to discover new land, even though it was inhabited, if it wasn't inhabited by Christian people, then you could basically take whatever you want and deal with those natives or those indigenous people as you saw fit. And this wasn't just about New Zealand or Aotearoa. This was very much about Africa. It was about the Americas. It was about our Aboriginal brothers and sisters in Australia, who up until 1967 were still treated as flora and fauna. So I've said to the Vatican, I've said to Pope Francis in a letter over the weekend, look, we want the repudiation of that doctrine. It's never been done before, but we want also the Vatican to recognise the sins of their tupuna. And their tupuna was that Pope that signed this thing that ended up killing millions and millions of Indigenous First Nations peoples from around the world.
Absolutely.
So we've got our obligations here in Aotearoa, but we've also got those kin connections with our whānau overseas, other First Nations peoples that we're working with as well. A lot of people wouldn't know this, but in 1967, the Māori Council sent some of our leaders over to support the referendum in Redfern. They were there in Redfern in Australia to support the referendum for the recognition of Aboriginal people as human beings. And we're going to go there again. Whenever they get their constitution up and running, their constitutional recognition up and running, we'll be there walking beside them as well, as brothers do and sisters do. But we were also instrumental many years ago in what is now the UN Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous Peoples too. So there we were over on a little island in Canada, supporting what would ultimately become that declaration. And we weren't just supporting it, we were very prominent in its coming into being. And I've said this before, these are the things, both local, national and internationally, we need to be doing as a Māori Council. We need to be focused on the rights of our people, no matter what confronts them, no matter what circumstances they find themselves in. That is our job. Our job is not to fight with each other, not to lay claim to each other, and not to go into war with each other, as Māori leaders often do. It's about working for the people at the flax roots level. You know, otherwise, we just lose sight of the main objective. And the main objective for us must be mana motuhake. It must be self-determination. And that's what we're doing.
Kia ora. Kia ora, matu. E runga tōna i o kōrero. E tautoko ana i o kaupapa te katoa ahakoa e maha. E tautoko ana. Regardless what you have in front of you, Matthew, support it wholeheartedly. I'll always be here on air. If you need me at any time, you've already got my number in your phone. I've called you that many times. I'm only a phone call away, rain, hail or sunshine, night, day, middle of the night. It doesn't really make any difference to me. If there's a way I can get it out there to get you help any way I can, I shall do so. Nā rere matu, as always, always a pleasure speaking to you. E mihi tēnei kia koe hoa, nō reira kia kaha hiroto o wō mahi. Māori o rara.
Kia ora, thank you.
Kia ora, Matthew. Ai, kia koutou whakarongo maira, kērā kōrero ko Matthew Tukaki.
Te reo o te rangatira tahi me Pākele mane ki te praere, ono ki te iwa karaka i te ata, i runga i te reo irirangi o te tiu, te reo irirangi Māori o te hiku o te ika, iwa te kaumā whitu, ira tahi.